Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 19th of February, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use. It's going to be more fun than you can shake a stick at if that's your idea of a good time. Before we do that, though, we have lots and lots of news to get to. Let's start with the Mac people. To get this out of the way, Steve is eager to do damage control here, and he may need to, because there are actually two. I found another one last night later.
Yeah,
two Mac OS X worms. One of them spreads via the iChat instant messaging client, causes applications to run improperly. It's called Leap A. Symantec doesn't deem it a major threat yet, but that's. Looking into that, that's because it's not affecting a lot of computers.
It's
affecting apparently a significant number of Macintoshes, but that's not enough of an overall number to make Symantec think it's a threat.
And it's almost as if someone went out of their way to write a virus that doesn't do anything.
It's a proof of concept.
It's a little more than that, because it does do some things, but the method of attack is so small. It works over iChat, yes, but only on your LAN, not through the internet.
Right.
And it only affects Cocoa applications that the user owns, which is a very, very small number of apps that the typical Mac user has on their program.
It looks like is a proof of concept that actually got out, wasn't intended to get out.
Yeah. Well, and then when a Symantec guy says, "We told you so," well, maybe they wrote it.
Well, maybe they did. Yeah,
their Mac sales have been slumping.
Well, that's true. But there is a second one, you know. There's a second one that exploits actually very old vulnerabilities in the Bluetooth implementation.
Yeah.
That's another proof of concept worm. It's called the Bluetooth, it's called Inktana, OS10.Inktana.A. It uses a Bluetooth directory traversal vulnerability that was published back in June of 2005, 6 months ago. And that's another proof of concept. So they're out there, kids. They're out there.
The other thing about the Leap A is that It's a Trojan horse masquerading as pictures of the next operating system, 10.5.
Right.
So in itself, if someone is posting pictures of that, they're doing it illegally. And it's,
well, that's half the reason people download it.
Yeah, they want to see that. And it's an old vulnerability that also exists on Windows. If you name something .jpg.exe, Windows hides the exe. You think it's a JPEG.
Right.
So this Trojan horse masquerades as a JPEG. When you double click this JPEG, it asks for your administrator password to prove that you want to install a program. So if you try to open a picture and it asks for your password, it's not a picture.
Right. Well, in this case, it's actually
a shell script. Yeah.
It's a zip file. It purports to be a zip file. So it wants to know who you are when you open it. It's called latest.gz, latestpics.gz. Yep. So it says, if I'm going to open this, I have to have your password.
And it will pop open a terminal window.
Right.
And you have to have your input manager owned by root. So it's all these weird little things that are unlikely to happen that are preventing the spread of this specific instance.
Right, right. But it is clearly proof of concept. They're working their slow way around to it. So all you Mac people, time to stop being... We've been saying this for a long time. It's time to stop being complacent, no matter what your operating system is. I run Linux on a daily basis, and I'm running antivirus and intrusion detection software and everything else just to make sure my system is clean.
Well, yeah. Talking about security, though, I had a client this week.
Good for you. There's more.
Yeah, there's more.
Sorry.
Always. You know me. When do I ever let it go just short? Never have in 16 years.
That's the truth.
All right. He came in and evidently somebody had put some passwords on a laptop that he owned. And for whatever reason, we wound up with the laptop asking to be, you know, clear out the passwords, which I can do. But then he got into the passwords for QuickBooks. He says, "Break that password." I go, "Nope."
Right.
Can't. What you folks got to understand is, one, when you have a computer and, you know, you're going to password these other files, again, like we've told you before, make it something unique. You've got to have control on it. If you're in a business, folks, you don't own that computer, and technically it belongs to the business. And those passwords should not be something that you, you know, put on there, because it doesn't belong to you without the boss knowing it. You could get in a lot of trouble for it. In this case, you know, he's trying to fight that legal battle. Now he's got to turn around and send this whole file to Intuit.
For several hundred dollars.
To get the darn thing unlocked, because there's all the business for taxes. So, you know, I mean, it's a big bag of snakes, but you got to take control of your network. And
yeah,
your
I'm constantly trying to remind my faculty that they don't own their computers. I do.
Why is it that, though, folks?
Well, because they call them personal computers.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks they're, well, you know, personal.
Yeah, but they didn't buy it.
No, I bought it. It's mine. I know that. They need to understand.
Yeah, yeah, but that's what I mean. This whole idea that folks think, well, it sits on their desk, they own it.
Yeah, they're wrong.
And they sit there and get offended.
In a business, obviously in the home, you're
that's
right.
What, no,
in
no,
the
no business, I'm talking strictly
listen,
in business.
Listen, we got to take a break. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. We got Dave from Penfield on the line. We'll be talking to him. We've got Dave Enright. We've got Steve Ray. We've got Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco, and you're listening to, you know it, you're listening to Soundbites, the greatest computer show in the known universe, only on 1180 WHAM.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, and let me just say that, in fact, being the target for a knife thrower is a very, very hard thing to do. You have to have incredible faith in the knife thrower or be incredibly stupid.
And you don't want your allergies acting up.
Right.
Now, what are you referring to?
They just did a they did a commercial where the guy said,
see, in one of Nick's many lives, he was the target for a knife thrower.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. But it was. It's not an easy thing to do.
Where do you get this stuff from?
The commercial that was just on said if the luge is a sport, then being the target for a knife thrower is a sport. And I said being the target for a knife thrower is harder.
We listen to the spots.
See, Nick's 100 years old. He's done everything.
I have done almost everything. I've done all the fun things and a lot of the really stupid things.
You know that,
and you are out on bail for it. You know what I mean?
Speaking of age, and I just got a call from one of my old classmates.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, well, you know, it's time. I go, shoot, you're right. Yeah, my 40-year reunion coming up next
year. Wow, you are old.
You know what that means.
40 years, I went to Shalott High School, and we're starting to plan, because you got to plan it a year ahead of time, but trying to round everybody up.
You graduated from high school 27 years before Rob Linton was born.
Well, yeah. Do you feel bad about that?
Yeah. No, you're a puppy.
Not can until now.
You're a puppy.
Let me know. I'll get back to you next week.
Except for my joints, I wouldn't change a thing I've done.
Yeah, same here.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. We're going to talk to Dave from Penfield, New York, who's patiently been waiting through our nonsense. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Good morning. I was just wondering if you could give a short explanation of the different types of processors that are available. There's Sempron and Celeron and AMD Athlon and Pentium 4, and we're all pretty familiar with like Pentium 4 and some of the AMD stuff. But what goes with what? What would be good for an entry level machine? What would be good for somebody who wants to do some light duty photo editing?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question.
You know, today I saw there's a Sempron D now.
Yep.
You know, making me a little crazy.
Yeah, the companies come out with new chips almost every week.
Yeah, I mean it's.
Yeah. I'm gonna hang up and go listen on the radio now. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. It is. It's becoming like a bag of worms. What you're gonna see right now in a lot of the ads and Sunday flyers and everything else and Dell and them quite often right now to get the price down on the machine they're offering Celeron machines. It's a lower end chip.
The Intel Celeron and the AMD Sempron. Are equivalent machines.
Although I'd put a Sempron ahead of a Celeron. it seems to perform a little bit better than the Celeron.
Yeah. But they're cheaper.
Yeah, they're cheaper.
They're slower, so they're cheaper.
And those are the great chips. So, say, matter of fact, I just had a client come in and said, listen, I want to get a system. I've got a system that I think is still running Windows 95. And all he literally does is check his email and write a few letters. So, as far as that end, yeah, a Semfron or a Celeron machine would be fantastic for him because, you know, he's not looking for performance. Now, if you get to, say, somebody that's a big gamer, there you're going to go dual core. Dual core with a 256, probably twin 256 video cards, high-end, space, say, 200 gig or better hard drive, whereas this other Celeron guy, I would have only said maybe an 80 gig hard drive.
So it's so subjective, it's almost impossible to decide.
Yeah. Right, right. And there's no cut and dried, this is good for this, this is good
for
that.
No, that's why I'm a big opponent, and I'm sure you're the same way, Steve. You want to sit down and talk to the person, find out what they're going to do with it, and then build it around them. Because too often, these companies turn around and they say, well, here's a package.
Yeah, you look on Dell's website, they have a PC for $299. Oh, great, I can buy a computer for $300. And then they're
invariably upset because it's not as well. It's a 2 gigahertz processor. It's not fast. Well, there's how much cache is in the thing. What's the front side bus? What's the speed of the memory? What's the speed of the hard drive controller? It's not just one component. I keep saying no matter what you build up, you're just moving the bottleneck around. Something's going to be the slowest component in the system.
Well, one other thing though that you got to read. I mean, you can get a system for $299. But what it doesn't come with, and
You really want.
Well, it doesn't come with a floppy. Oh, if you want the software, that's extra.
Right.
You do not get the Windows software. It comes with a 90.
For some of us, that's a feature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It only comes with a 90-day warranty. So after 90 days, if something goes wrong with that, folks, you're sore out of luck.
Well, you throw it away and buy a new one. It's only $300.
Yeah, it's only $300.
Yeah, and the other problem that we run into a lot, and what the caller was possibly running into is you buy a basic computer because I'm just going to do some word processing and maybe a little email, and then in a couple of months you get a digital camera and I want to edit my photos, and then you get a digital video camera. Oh, I want to do some video, and suddenly that cheap computer doesn't work.
Well, and here's the other thing to remember: Vista's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
As we reported last week, 70% of the machines that are out there simply will not be able to run Vista to any useful degree. You don't have enough memory, your processor isn't fast enough, your hard drive isn't big enough, and you for darn sure don't have a good enough video card.
Yep.
It's really designed for those folks who've already bought. It's designed to the specifications that if you've bought a high-end gaming machine, ready to run Vista.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Just to get it started.
Yes.
I mean, they won't even be performing that well.
And
even
we said
the gamers.
This last week. Bill Gates is the only guy who can afford a machine that runs Vista. You want a real high-end video card. You want at least a gig of RAM. You want at least a 2 gigahertz processor. Anything, and not a Semperon or a Celeron, because those are just, the cache is too
Forget
low.
It.
They're just going to thrash all the time. You need a real Opteron or whatever, and that's the kind of thing that you need. And so if you're running one of those systems now, if you're running a system that's better than you thought you'd need, it's still not good enough for Vista.
The memory, like you said, just the memory requirements, and a lot of these current motherboards will only support up to 1 gig, older ones. And 1 gig is going to be entry level.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go 2 or better. So, it's just not going to cut it. Any way you look at it, you're going to, like they're saying right now with the others, it'll run, but not very well.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. Rob Jason's in to give us the latest news and weather and sports and all the most important stuff. And then we'll have some small economic dramas. And then on the other side, we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites. Greatest computer show in the known universe. On 1180 WHAM.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Were you guys actually having
fun
in there?
You having a party in that other room?
We have told you about this repeatedly.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we're having a good time.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. That's it for you. I'm done now. We don't want you having
TMI.
Fun in there. We do not want you having fun in there. Before we get back to the phones, hold on if you're on the line. We do want to talk about yet another. We want to talk about another Microsoft software patch. As you know, this past week was Patch Tuesday. Several patches were released on Tuesday. There's a problem with one of them.
Only one?
As far as we know, it's one which is supposed to fix a TCP/IP vulnerability in several versions of Windows. The Microsoft said the patch was important but not critical, but you should install it as soon as possible. Hello? Microsoft did find a problem for people who were trying to install it. It didn't work. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, before if you visited the sites, if you did your update before 8:30 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, if that would be 4:30 our time on Tuesday, you need to revisit and accept the security updates again because they screwed up. There's a shock. Okay, back to the phones. What?
Look at him run. Look at him run.
What were you doing in the window? Was he making faces again in the window?
Yeah.
I can't believe him. Was it faces this time?
No, you guys, we should explain to people what you're doing right now. You are sitting in a completely pitch black studio.
No, it's not pitch black.
Oh, no, it's pretty darn close.
No, because...
So I wanted to see what all the hubbub was about.
If you check the camera thing... For some reason,
it's
in this studio,
yeah, it is kind of dark in this studio, but the camera is still being washed out by too much light. We don't know where the light's coming from.
Yeah, I don't think I can change it
don't
here.
Look
I'll try
into
to
the
play
light.
With that during the next commercial break. But in the meantime, we're in here in the dark because we like it this way.
It's soothing.
We feel like the mushrooms we are. Our next caller is Mike from Greece. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. I've been doing your security tango and. Every time I get to SpyBot, I've got three programs that it finds.
Mm-hmm.
Then I click on fix the programs, and it fixed two of them. And each time I get a altnet settings registry key, nothing done. And it's hotkey underscore local underscore machine software altnet. And then the other one that it always picks up is Windows Security Center antivirus disabled. Notify.
Yeah, those are always going to come up no matter what.
But
because of the Windows, especially that security one, because you've got that turned off, and the minute you erase it, it's only going to come back again.
Okay, so then each time I turn the computer on and I run SpyBot, those three things come up.
Yep.
And it takes care of the two of them, but I can't get rid of this altnet problem. What is altnet? And why does it keep not being able to fix it? It says it can't fix it.
Because it's not a problem. Again, it's just, it thinks it is, but it really isn't.
So it's okay to have this altnet?
If it's the one that I'm thinking of, yes.
There's a bunch of different ones called altnet, and they're peer-to-peer software entertainment subscribers. So if you do online games, you know, playing cards on the web.
Same with the iTunes, sharing the music and all that.
Well, this specific one, Altnet, there's several different companies that use that, and some of them are spyware. But if you run it, when it gets removed, if you run that game again, it comes back.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Well, I think my question though is it doesn't remove it.
Yeah, but do you run such a service?
No, I do not. No. I don't play any cards online or any games online.
See, leading distributor of licensed digital entertainment, records, films, software, video game, movies.
Yeah, it comes with a lot of stuff that people play.
And it may not be you intentionally.
Was this
you might go to
machine?
Some website that loads it for you.
No, this was not a preloaded machine, but it keeps referring me to like the H key.
Yeah, that's the registry entry where it is.
Right.
What it may be, what it sounds like is that the program is gone, but the registry key can't be removed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's
you may need to run SpyBot in safe mode.
I've already tried tried that
yeah,
too.
But, yeah, sometimes it won't always find it because of the way it was uninstalled, because it's kind of methodical. If folks, that's why I tell folks, go in under Add Remove. Don't go into Windows Explorer and just delete the directory, because a lot of stuff gets... Because there's when you do the add remove programs in the control panel, that methodically goes through and takes things out correctly.
Right. Well,
whereas I've had some folks just go in, delete their directories, and then they can't uninstall the stuff properly.
Yeah. Well, also what we're seeing is in a lot of cases, the machine is clean. It's just still a registry entry.
Yeah.
And so there's an alt net that comes bundled with Kazaa, and that's what displays ads on your screen. So right. It may not be something you knew you installed, but came with a program you did install.
But what it sounds like is you're not actually infected. Right. There's just a registry entry. If you want to get rid of that or bring it to somebody to have them get rid of it, that's...
But it's nothing that's really going to cause them any issues.
Yeah, that's not going to cause you any problems. Listen, we're going to take another break, but we'll be back in a couple minutes with, yes, Dave Enright and Steve Ray, definitely with Rob Linton. More than likely with me, Nick Francesco. We definitely have all of you. If you're on the line, please hold on. If you're not on the line, why not? This is, after all, Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Sound Bites, America's longest running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Welcome to Sound Bites. We get what?
I like this.
All right, who are we taking next?
We're doing Pat. Pat on a cell
phone. Pat on a cell phone. Welcome, Pat. What's your question?
Hi, is Matt?
Matt?
Yes.
Okay, Matt, what's your question?
All right. So my iPod got dropped into some water.
That would be bad.
Apparently so. And the screen is, you can kind of see like a little hazy gray outline on the screen of the iPod. And I'm just wondering, is there any hope for my iPod, or am I buying a new one?
It depends. Well, was the iPod on when it fell in the water? And how long was it in the water? And how long did you let it dry before you tried turning it on?
The iPod, I'm not sure how long it was in the water. When I picked it up, my hand hit the wheel, which it made it sound like you were clicking through, you know, like clicking through one of the menus. And I'm not sure how long it was in the water. It was in the pocket of my ski jacket, and then that pocket wound up in a bucket of water. It could have been in there for, certainly more than 30 seconds.
Yeah, a lot of times with a lot of electronic devices, if they're off when they go in the water, if you let them dry for a week, then you're sort of okay. There are a couple of repair services on the internet. iPod Rescue is probably one of the biggest ones. You can send it to them, and they'll let you know what they think it's going to cost to fix. Apple's general out-of-warranty repair price is $250, so they really want you to buy a new iPod instead of repairing an old one. It's possible if you're handy enough, you might be able to open it yourself and dry out the components separately. But probably you're pretty well, you know, messed up.
Doomed.
Doomed, yeah. Well, what's a polite radio-friendly word for doomed?
Yeah, that would be doomed.
SOL.
Yeah.
If I open it up myself and kind of take a hairdryer to it or something, would that be all right?
Well, something like that, but not too hot, because you don't want to melt any of the other components. And since it's already broken now, if you break it worse by opening it, you're not really losing much more.
Yeah, and just put the hairdryer on. You just want it on very low and some distance away from it. Don't put it right on it.
Yeah, it may already be too late. If it tried to turn on while it was wet, something might have shorted already.
Well, right. I had an individual bring a laptop in that sort of does quite a few things here at the radio station, and they wound up putting a hairdryer very close to the keyboard.
Don't look at me. I didn't do this.
I didn't say you. No, I'm saying another individual. And they put the heat of the hairdryer right on top of the keyboard. Literally, the keys just crumpled right on up and curled up and pointing to the air.
Yeah, 1,500 watts is really hot.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. They might not be bright enough to own a laptop.
Pardon? They might what?
They might not be bright enough to own a laptop.
Yeah. says the guy who dropped his iPod in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Matt. I don't think we have the best news on earth for you.
Yeah, give it a shout. You got nothing to lose.
That's
like
right.
Steve
at this
says,
point, you got nothing to lose.
Already hosed, so, you know, what do you could lose?
That's
not
right.
That much.
Go for it. In the meantime, we'll move on to Steve from Fairport. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Well, I'm having a little bit of a problem with sending images by way of email. I have XP Home Edition and Outlook Express 6. I'm connected to the world through a dial-up modem that runs at 50.6 kbits per second. I can send and receive text files and emails of any size, but as soon as I try to send an image file, either as an attachment or embedded in the email, I get an SMTP server error. It says that it's disconnected. What can I do?
Stop using Outlook.
Yeah.
There are security precautions that Apple, Microsoft has tried putting into Outlook to prevent images, actually to prevent any attachment because so many attachments can be viruses. So Outlook by default now, especially in Outlook 6, will not allow attachments. You have to go into the security settings and lower the security to let it receive attachments. I hadn't heard, though, about problems sending attachments.
Yeah,
it may also be that who is your internet service provider?
It's our good and wonderful friends at Frontier.
Ah, then they should be allowing it to send.
How big of a image are you sending?
I've tried sending images as small as 50 kbytes. And they will not go. I keep getting the SMTP server timeout error.
Tell you what, why don't you try installing Thunderbird?
Okay, I have downloaded that. I have yet to install it.
Install it, and then don't make it your default right away. Well, yeah, you're going to probably want to.
Yeah.
But for right now, you can just download that, install it, and try sending, set it up. Just don't have it import all your stuff yet. And try sending something through that.
It may also be that in sending, even something as small as 50K, well, that should go, but
yeah,
it may be
should.
Timing out. It may be timing out, but while it's sending, try going over and like loading a web page or something and seeing if that helps it keep the line up. But try that. Let us know. Let's do this as a good test. Try that and let us know. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, and with me, Nick Francesco, on The Mellow.
He just hit his head on the keyboard.
I put him to sleep. I have put Rob to sleep in the booth by turning Mellow. All right, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, 1180 WHM. Was that better? Did that keep you awake?
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Yes, you are. And this is Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, there seems to be, I hope you're all sitting down, there's a flaw in Internet Explorer. For those of you who just haven't gotten the memo and are still using Internet Explorer, there's yet another flaw in it. It's a flaw that will allow vicious code to run and take over your PC. Why are you still running Internet Explorer? Sorry, I feel better now. Microsoft was informed of this vulnerability in August.
Of what year?
2005. Yes, 2005. The company hasn't really done anything about it, so they're making it public because I figure 6 months is enough. If a user went to this special website, it would let you run code without anybody's consent. Microsoft said they would not issue an immediate patch. But they would instead wait to issue a fix in Service Pack 2 for Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP Service Pack 3. That may be 6 or 8 months from now. So probably your best bet is to just, if you're religiously inclined, pray to your favorite deity every time you run Internet Explorer. Or download Firefox. We keep telling people to do that. So really the theory is I shouldn't even have to report this because our users, our listeners, aren't using Internet Explorer anymore. So they don't have this problem. Excellent. Let's move on.
Well, I just had a thought for a previous caller, too, not being able to send attachments. Check his antivirus. Maybe the antivirus is trying to scan the attachment and timing out the server. Check his firewall. Temporarily and very, very briefly, turn them off and see if the message sends.
Right, because it could be that. And then we know where to start. Then turn it back on again.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
Well, the other one, too, is if he's used in the Norton. Norton puts the high, right now, if he's running Norton 2005 or 2006, especially 2006, it sets the security so high that it blocks everything from getting out.
Right. So, yeah, that's, so try all those things, Steve, and let us know. But in the meantime, we have Keith on the phone from Farmington, New York. Welcome, Keith. What's your question?
I got a question and a comment. Excuse me.
It's all right.
I've been an Opera user since I heard you guys mention it about 2,000 years ago.
Yep.
And it's great. I know my version isn't the newest one. It's a couple hundredths off. If I use my Opera browser to go to Opera and click it on, will it still retain my bookmarks?
Yes.
Okay, second question or comment. The guy who dropped his iPod, back in the days when everybody had pagers, I stood in front of the toilet, used the toilet, and remember I stood in front of it, reached over to flush it and hit the pager, and the pager fell in. So I'm looking at the pager at the bottom of the toilet and thinking, well, I could buy a new one, or I could reach in and pull it out.
Yeah.
So I took it out, and it was on at the time. I turned it off, but what I had to do was immediately rinse my hands, and I had to take it apart and rinse it off to give it clean water. Well, I took it apart, now just the case off, and blotted it the best I could after I rinsed it off quite well, blotted it and put the hair dryer on a cool setting. I knew not to go too hot.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, the thing worked, and it was a Motorola pager. I called Motorola's customer service department with a compliment that, and I told them, and they go, we've never had that experience that anybody would admit to. I mean, I still have the pager, but you know, nobody uses pagers anymore.
Yeah.
But
the guy, and certainly not that one.
Yes.
No, not after this story. Want to use my pager? No, I don't think so.
He might be able to dry it out.
Yeah,
but
it's possible.
Too late too.
Yeah, the big problem with iPods is they're not designed to be user serviceable, so it's really tricky to get them apart.
Oh. All right.
And oftentimes trickier to get them apart correctly so you can put them back together again.
And of course, if he's got one of the models with a hard drive in it, that adds an interesting level of complexity. If it's the Nano, you're right. It's one board, dry it out, see what happens.
He might be able to search on the web for some help on how to take it apart, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of take apart instructions on the web. But the iPod Rescue,
not a lot of put together instructions, but a lot of take apart.
Gently pry, carefully peel. It's really really tricky.
Yeah.
But the iPod Rescue for $30, they'll let you know if the iPod is worth replacing, and that's including 3-way shipping. They send you an empty box, you put your iPod in it, send it to them, they look at it, and then send it back to you.
That's nice.
So $30 will tell you if it's worth fixing.
iPod Rescue, it's called?
iPod Rescue. And it's we've mentioned it before. They're in the link list already.
All right, check the link list while we go to Jerry from Greece, New York. Welcome, Jerry. What's your question?
Yes, sir. I recently upgraded my operating system to Windows 2000 Professional.
Yes.
And I downloaded Firefox, but an older version by mistake.
Right.
And I'm having an issue with sending email through Yahoo. I won't. The send button just like is disabled.
You cannot send email from from Thunderbird through Yahoo because Yahoo, unless you pay for their premium service, doesn't do POP. So you have to do it on the web.
There you are.
Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. Wait. He's using Firefox to use it webmail.
Yeah. Right. We'll answer that when we come back because right now we have to go. Rob Jason's in to give us yet again the latest news, the latest weather, the most interesting sports. Hey, the Olympics are going on in Torino. Shrouded in mystery.
Yeah, where's the shroud?
Well, exactly. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, and with each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. They're laughing at me in the booth.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, every week on the show, we have a poll. Last week's poll was about computer games because we had a story about the mayor of New York City up in Albany talking to somebody about something, and in his own place, in his own IT department, talking to somebody about something, and they had a picture opportunity, and they noticed that on his screen he had solitaire, and so they fired him. Many of us thought that was a little harsh, perhaps for a first offense, that was a little harsh. But the question is, I've played computer games at work. 306 of you voted, making it number 119 on the all-time hit list. Not very shockingly, 50% of you said, oh, heck yeah. 42% of you lied and said, never. Why? What have you heard? And 23 of you just clicked on the Macintosh. Great. This week's
interestingly enough, business Macintoshes don't come with any games on them.
Yes, we talked about that.
Yeah, only the home Macintoshes.
Only the home Macintoshes. And, well, that's, of course, Microsoft only has one version of Windows up until we get to Vista. We'll talk about that at some point. But it only has one version of Windows, and they can't remove any of the things, and they can't do any of that stuff, and that's why they're being sued left and right, but that's why that's all about. This week's poll is actually about the Macintosh. As we've mentioned at the top of the show, there are at least two virus Trojan things out there for the Macintosh. They are proof of concept. Last week we reported that some of the leading security people have said that this is the year of the Macintosh virus. So our question is, I protect my Macintoshes against viruses and Trojans. The choices are, of course, sort of, kinda. Why? It's a Mac. And, of course, the Macintosh. Because if I don't put the Macintosh, somebody will complain. So far, we've had 65 of you vote. The number one vote, 40% of you, just said the Macintosh. Therefore, completely ignoring the question about the Macintosh. I think I've finally proven my point now.
It seems like the mindless sheep exist on both platforms.
Yes, they do. There's no question to that.
Well, actually, no. On the Mac, it's Lemmings.
And the Mac, it's Lemmings.
The famous Lemmings commercial.
Right, exactly. Followed by why it's a Macintosh. Those people are all owned. 14% of you said sort of, kinda. And only six smart people said, of course. So we're hoping for a lot more votes as we go along. Yes, one more person just clicked on the Macintosh. When you're done with that, at the bottom, you'll see a little yellow box at the bottom of the poll. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Thank you.
We had to ding manually last week.
Yeah, we did. It was terrible.
Dan didn't know where the ding was. Didn't know we did.
I'm the master of the ding. You know what I'm
saying? We've heard that about that.
We didn't want to go there, but you opened the door on that one.
Weren't you just talking about putting a ding in your motorcycle last year?
He's a ding-a-ling.
Huh.
I'm trying to keep it on a higher level plane than all three of you combined. yes, I did leave out anything about Windows. I thought this was a chance for the Mac people to get their own back because so many times I used to leave out Mac choices. I figured I'd leave out a Windows choice this time, which is now porking off all the Windows people. Here's an idea. Get over it. When you're done voting in the poll, feel free to look around at what's on Ask Nick. Much of it you have to be actually a member to get, and it's only $15 a year, so I don't know why you're not. But when you're done with that, come on back over to the Soundbites website because you'll see a bunch of really nifty stuff there. We've got contacts, we've got FAQs, we've got the forums where the wackiest people on earth hang out. And of course, we have the links. We had a question about the link. Somebody said they couldn't find the Frapper link. Yeah. We have a thing called Frapper. If you go to Frapper, you can see where many of our Soundbites listeners come from. You can put yourself on the map.
Please do.
They said they couldn't find it in the links. That's because it's all the way down at number 5. Apparently, whoever this person was fell asleep before getting to number 5. It says, join the growing Soundbites community on Frapper. So I apologize for not making that any plainer.
Well, they don't take the time to sit there and read each line. Look, I think they wanted to jump out in bold letter and flash at them.
Well, I can't put them all first.
Make them all blank first. And bold.
And that's just the same as none of them being blank and bold.
Yeah.
Archive is first, podcast is second, everything else is below it. List of weekly sites mentioned is third.
Yeah, but again, it's just
live,
taking your
out the
time and forth, reading.
And then is the Frapper thing. So it's just a matter of that stuff. Dave's tips are in here. Our call log is in here. All the good stuff is in here. So,
well, plus you even put a nice feature, and again, I want to thank you for that. Is on my tips. You've added the search feature.
Yep.
So if somebody's looking for a particular thing, because I've got over 2 years of tips in there, I think this week alone I put in like 3 different tips that I found and thought would be helpful. You can do searches on something that you want to find within my tips and do a search on that criteria too. Say it's hard drives.
Right. So you can do that. So that's good. All right, let's go back to the phones. What do you say?
Let's do Irene.
Sound like a deal for you?
Irene first.
Irene from Pavilion, New York. Welcome, Irene. What's your question?
Well, you were just saying something about the Firefox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We use Explorer right now. So how do we download the Firefox?
All you've got to do is go to Mozilla.com.
What is it?
Mozilla. Mozilla.
Okay.
Turn off your radio. You're getting yourself confused.
.com. And download both Firefox is the browser and Thunderbird is the email portion of it. And they're 2 products that now when a machine comes into our shop where we're setting up a new machine, especially if I'm setting up a new machine, I give you an alternative automatically. I put Thunderbird and Firefox on there and let the folks choose whether they want to go with Outlook or Thunderbird. They can either use Firefox or IE.
And Firefox.com works now, too.
Yeah, it does. Let us be plain. I believe that Internet Explorer is a very well-written browser. There's no question of that. The problem is there are so many holes in it, and there are so many people attacking it, that I just cannot, in all good conscience, recommend it to anyone at this time. And the same is true of Internet of Outlook and Outlook Express. I just can't recommend them at this time.
Okay.
And that's the reason. So go for it. Download Firefox, install it. The cool part is when you install it, you download it, you double click on it to install, it'll come up and say, oh, I see you're using Internet Explorer. Do you want to move over all your bookmarks? You say yes. It doesn't take them out of Internet Explorer.
It just copies
them.
So
you'll still have them in IE. Same with your email for Thunderbird. But now any new mail you get will be in Thunderbird, not in Outlook Express. So you'll be protected on 2 fronts. So I say go for it, Irene, and welcome to the light side.
The real
side.
World.
Exactly.
We forgot to finish answering Jerry's question about Firefox and Yahoo Mail.
Oh, yeah.
I had jumped in there quick because I just read this article. A lot of people using Outlook Express and Thunderbird email want to get their Yahoo Mail or their Hotmail, and the free webmail services cannot be retrieved through an email program. You have to subscribe to their pay services to get what's called Popmail. But using Firefox to access Yahoo Mail should work, and it may be because you got an older version.
Yeah.
That something
he said
in the
he
code,
had an old version.
Yeah.
So
if you just go to the Firefox.com and download the new version, and Nick will let you make the joke about their version numbers, 1.5.0.1.
Point left elbow, point J, just like the Mac people now.
So but the Mac people are coming to our side, though, with the using of the Intel chip.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Just as a matter of time.
That's it.
Got Jim from Arundicoit.
Our next caller is Jim from Arundicoit, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, guys. First of all, I wanted to thank you for both this program and the website and all the Tango information, hopefully help us people keep our computers secure.
Jim, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much.
The first issue I have is I've been running Norton Internet Security for the past couple of years. I've been fairly successful with it, but I know you guys have been talking about reservations about how it's seems to be taking over more control of the computer and so forth.
Yeah, that's what I've been seeing.
I do have DSL from service from Frontier.
Congratulations.
And I know, yeah, I'm very happy with that. And I noticed about that you were talking about the software available from Computer Associates.
Yes.
There's so many software packages, internet security stuff that seems to be available free when you buy tax, you know. And I really don't know which way I want to go with internet security software. I know there's Norton's available free. There's McAfee's free, Computer Associates.
Well, at the moment, we're not a big fan of Norton.
Right.
The semantic stuff. We're just not a big fan right now.
Right. The last time I installed the 05 version of the Internet Security, it did seem to slow down my computer booting up and so forth, I think.
Well, and that's one of the dangers, is you need all of this security software and antivirus software and anti-spam software. It's going to make your computer run slower.
Right. You want... Let me tell you from my point of view. As a matter of fact, when I build a machine, right now, when I put together a machine for a client, I can literally have it go out with both free antivirus, which is AVG. I use Zone Alarm, which is a free firewall.
Right.
I put Adaware and SpyBot on there.
Right.
So you've got there, and they walk out with a checklist. And like I said to the other caller, Firefox and Thunderbird automatically go on. Those five products I put on every machine.
And so, they're all free.
Right.
And when they go out, I know the machine is going to work right for a client.
Right.
Now, the CA software, the Computer Associates software that Frontier is offering free to DSL customers is phenomenal software. There's no question of that. So you can certainly do that.
Right.
That's fine, too. You know, anything that's free is generally good, unless, of course, it's Norton. But either Easy Armor, which is from Computer Associates, or AVG is a very good product to use. Now, I always ask the trivia question, what's the largest computer software company in the world? And the answer is, of course, Computer Associates. Yep. So it's hard to argue with that when it comes to buying something.
I see they're even offering Computer Associates Internet Security software available free. I mean, you know, that in a box, you know, with like tax software, you know.
Yeah.
And that kind of,
yep.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thanks, fellas. I appreciate the information. I think I'll go from there.
Okay.
Good for you. It's our pleasure, Jim. Good luck and have fun.
Steve.
Our next caller is Steve from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Good morning, guys. I have a question about when to replace the battery in a desktop.
And usually,
is that something that you should, you know, I'm one of those people who holds on the computers longer than probably an average person would. But is it?
Almost say longer than is reasonable, Steve?
Yeah, maybe so.
Steve, usually you'll notice when the battery's going is down in the lower right hand corner. You'll start to see the clock losing time.
Okay.
Once it starts losing, say 5 minutes a day. Then it's a good idea to change the battery out.
Although with so many people on the internet all the time now, and the clocks will synchronize themselves over the internet, you don't notice your clock is losing time.
Right. How old is your machine?
Probably about 4 years now.
How much of that time has it been on?
It always is plugged in, but. I don't leave it on all the time.
Yeah. Probably time to change it.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. The battery is only used when the computer is off, turned off, and unplugged from the wall outlet.
Yeah.
So if that never happens, your battery may never wear out because it's not being used.
Right.
We've had customers that will have their computer plugged into a power strip, so they'll shut down the computer and then turn the power strip off.
Oh. Okay.
So now there's no power to the computer. They wear out their battery in a year.
Right. Okay.
And other people have been running 10 years and have never changed their battery.
Right, so if it's plugged into the wall all the time, even though it's turned off, you're good.
But see, the thing of it is if that battery goes, the worst thing that happens is you just have to change the battery. You don't lose anything information on the hard drive or anything else.
But on the other hand, how cheap are the batteries?
You know, it
might as well do it. If you're worried about it, do it. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't
hurt. It's a
cheap thing to do. Better to be safe than to be whatever the other thing is. Sorry. The polite word. We're on the radio. The polite word is sorry. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with a lot more Dave Enright, a whole lot more Steve Ray, way too much Rob Linton, and even more of that of me, Nick Francesco. Luckily, we're a radio show. We've got, who we got on the line? Dick and John and Dana all on the line, so hold on. And if you're not on the line, I don't know why not, because it's easy. You just call the numbers and... And here you are. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes on the greatest computer show in the known universe. Say it with me now. Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benner.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. You ever just like miss the button, you know what I'm saying?
Did we wake you? I'm so sorry.
You know what? You guys are mean.
It's nappy. It's nappy time for Rob. And we're going to go back to
we're just going to throw on music and I'm going to leave.
We can't talk loud because Rob's napping. Our next caller is Dana from Pembroke, New York. Welcome, Dana. What's your question?
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Pretty good. Sorry I got you on speaker. I can't get my cell phone to cooperate today. Hey, I'm looking for a 20-something inch LCD TV, primarily to be used as a computer monitor. And I go into the store, I look, and if I don't see the actual 14-pin connector on the display model, what connection type am I looking for? What is that called?
It's the HD15,
yeah.
Sometimes called a VGA connector.
VGA.
Right, and it also can depend on what port you have on your computer. A lot of the newer monitors are using a DVI connector, the digital video interface.
Yeah, and you can get the adapter to go from VGA to DVI.
Yeah, you can either adapt your so the big issue is that VGA is analog and DVI is digital. So DVI will give you a brighter, sharper, crisper signal if you have a DVI card in your computer. The other big problem is that LCD televisions are really, really low resolution, usually 500 or 600 lines, so that if you're looking for a computer monitor, you want 1,000 lines, 1024 by 768 is typical 17-inch. You said you were looking for a 20-inch, so that's probably 1900 by 1200 computer resolution. So finding a television with that high a resolution is going to be tricky, because TVs are such low resolution. A lot of times you can work it the other way. You buy a 20-inch monitor and then get a TV card in your computer and then display television in a window on your computer monitor.
All right. Do you see prices going down on any of these?
They keep going down dramatically, yeah. In fact, we just read yesterday, Sharp has a new Aquos 65-inch TV monitor. But again, it only does 800 lines, and it's $16,000. So it's a gorgeous television. It's a crappy monitor. So it's that trade-off between the resolution for your monitor versus the resolution for your television.
Okay. Would this trade-off be mitigated if that primarily you're using your DVD player in your PC to play DVDs onto that television?
Not specifically, because it's the resolution of the monitor. So if you only have 800 lines on your monitor, the DVDs will look good, but not as good as a real monitor would versus a television. And you can go to CNET, and I was just reading a review because we're looking at some of the bigger monitors for our office as well. CNET has a lot of reviews on the different monitors and different sizes and the resolution capability of a monitor with television versus a television with monitor. Yeah, the TVs with a monitor input are going to be a lot cheaper because they're such a lower resolution.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you. Our next caller is Dick from Perry, New York. Welcome, Dick. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got the Compaq Presario running Windows 98 SE, and I'm not sure if there's any way to do this. I spend a lot of time surfing in the wonderful world of dial-up out here, and anytime I want to open a link in a new window, of course, I right-click and choose select that. It always comes up in a three-quarter size screen, and then I have to maximize it. Is there any way for that to come up maximized?
All right, two things, Dick. You're still using Internet Explorer.
Yes, I am.
What have we told you about that?
Yeah, well.
Secondly,
I
realize that downloading it over dial-up is possibly a second most painful experience a human can have. So perhaps you could find a friend who could download it and burn it to CD for you. But in the meantime, what's probably happened is that at some point, a JavaScript program was downloaded into your machine to open new windows at a specific size. So if you clean out your cache, mm-hmm. you should get rid of that problem. You can then, what the next time one opens, you resize it.
Yeah, don't maximize it. Manually resize it with the bottom right corner. And then it remembers that size.
Right.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll give that a shot and see if that works.
This is only in the interim until you've downloaded and installed Firefox.
I see. Well, that would probably be sooner than I get anything faster than dial-up out in the rurals here.
Well, that's why I say if you've got a friend who lives in civilization and can download it faster and burn it to CD for you, that would probably be the best way to get your hands on it.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is John from Greece. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Yes, hi, good morning. Just real quick, I wanted to get you guys' opinions on some hardware stuff here, like motherboards and processors.
Mm-hmm.
These computer stores tell me that between Intel, Pentium, and the AMDs,
mm-hmm.
they say the AMD, I have that Sempron, is superior or better. Of course, maybe it's just their opinion over the Intel. And the motherboard, the K8VX Asus series, X-series, wanted to get to.
Yeah, there's tens of thousands of motherboards and hundreds of processors. And
I will say this. I am a huge fan of Asus.
Mm-hmm.
I think they make terrific products. I'm very impressed with them. That's ASUS, Asus.
Right.
I love their products.
Gigabyte is another one that is very good.
Excellent.
Yeah, those two are the biggies that I like using, especially Asus and Gigabyte and even some of the higher-end Intel motherboards.
Right. Mm-hmm. In terms of the processors, as we said to Dave at the top of the show, it depends on what you're going to use it for.
Yeah.
You know, if really, truly, all you're going to do is surf the web and do email, it doesn't matter what processor you have.
Oh, yeah.
But the minute you start doing anything else, you want to play a video, you want to play a game, you want to do, you want to go to a site that has Flash on it, whatever that is, you need a faster processor.
Oh, well, that's
In particular, if you're planning on running Vista, you don't have a machine that's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why, again, I like to sit down and talk with folks and find out what the heck they're going to do with the computer. Then from there, make the recommendations. Just not sit there and say, well, we've got these great deals on this box, and this box. Which one do you want?
Mm-hmm.
I like to tailor it to this, the user.
But the AMD Sempron, will that be good enough all around to handle any kind of video and graphics?
Again, it depends on what you're going to do with it, is how the machine should be built.
I wouldn't use a Sempron if I want to do a lot of stuff with video and sound like that. No, it doesn't even have to be gaming. It can be just listening to music or going to websites that have a lot of Flash. Sempron just, particularly if you got two or three or four things running, Sempron just doesn't have the oomph. The cache is small.
That's where
the data bus is small.
That's where you go with an Athlon, say 64. Say a 3200 plus or higher.
Okay, so you can change this right on the motherboard. Just put the
Depends on the motherboard.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
And then go with a higher end graphics card, 128 meg, 1 gig of memory.
I think I've got 128 something now.
Well, if you're eventually going to go to Vista, the minimum size of the system you need of the video card you need is 256 meg, and that's a minimum. So, but that's the kind of thing, really, that's the kind of thing you need to sit down and plan out. Let me make this a general thing. If you're looking to buy a machine, sit down and write down everything you want to do with it. And I don't mean just generically surf the internet. If you want to go to sites where you play online poker or you're going to Yahoo and playing those online free games, those are Flash, those need, you got to write all that stuff down. And then you go to somebody like Dave or Steve and you say, look, this is what I want to do with my machine. And then they'll sit down and say, okay, if you spend this much money, you can do these things. If you spend a little more, you can add this. If you spend a little more, you can do all the things you want to do.
And then
you can make your choice.
The big problem is, what's the next hot thing going to be? A couple, 3 years ago, we never thought about editing video on a personal computer. That was a high-end million-dollar Avid workstation. Now, DV cameras are so common and still cameras are so common that we're doing it on our personal computers.
Yep.
Right. You were saying this before. All I want to do is get on the net and read my email. And then 6 months later, you bought a digital camera, you want to edit your pictures. And 6 months later, you bought a digital video camera and you want to edit your videos. Well, that machine that only was ever going to surf the net just isn't good enough.
Yep. And then yell at us because it's too slow.
Right, right. And it's like it's our fault somehow.
Well, that's where I say I like to build somebody a mid-sized car. I'm not going to build you a Cadillac, and I'm not going to sell you the low end. It's going to be in the middle of the road so that if you want to do more, you can expand, but not tie you into one box.
Well, and that's what I tell people. You know, it's like buying a car. What are you going to do with it? I'm only going to drive to work, and I want real great gas mileage. Well, here's your Mini Cooper.
Yep.
6 months later, you say, oh, and by the way, I want to be able to help my friend move, so I'm going to hitch a trailer to it.
And go cross country.
No.
Motorcycle trailer, maybe.
Motorcycle trailer, that's about it, but that's it.
Works for me.
You got to understand that what you bought was a Mini Cooper, not a Mack truck, and you have to understand the difference. And you paid for what you paid for, and you can't do the other thing with it.
Yeah, take the plow off, and maybe you can pull a trailer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, our next caller is Dave on a cell phone. Dave, you're pulled over to the side of the road, right? Dave?
Yes.
Okay.
Pulled over.
Excellent.
I just recently put the Firefox on. I run AOL. How do I make it always be my default browser whenever I click on something?
You don't, because you're running AOL.
Oh, super.
AOL assumes that you're going to do everything through AOL.
Okay.
But you can be connected to AOL, minimize that, and then open up Firefox to do any other surfing.
All right. And should I still keep updates on all the Windows Service Pack 2, all that?
Yes,
stuff.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And
yeah, just because you're not using Internet Explorer doesn't mean your computer is completely safe if you're still running Windows. So you need to keep all the other updates as well.
All right. And real quick, last thing. I run the Adware. 2 days later, you run it again, and the same 10 things you took off are there again. Is there a way to stop them?
No, there's...
The way to stop it is stop using Windows and stop going back to those same websites. What's happening is you get reinfected all the time. After it says it's clean, if you do a scan, it cleans it. You do a scan immediately, and it's still clean, then you are clean. If you do a scan a day later and there's more stuff, you've been reinfected by some website you went
to. Yeah, but Windows, though, you can do a scan, turn it off, turn it back on, do a scan, and it'll find some because Windows put some back in there that the spyware software
on
thinks,
AOL.
Yeah, that think that they're, you know, damaging, and they're really not.
And it's depends on how loose a definition of spyware you have.
Yeah.
At the very basic level, any advertisement you see on a web page is spyware because it puts something on your computer that says this ad has been displayed. So a lot of the anti-spyware programs like Adware will remove that type of stuff. The next time you open AOL, the next time you open the web page, and that advertisement gets displayed, you now are reinfected.
And even when you're using Firefox, if you haven't gone into Tools and Options and Privacy and Cookies and told it, you know, when to allow it to do cookies, and when to tell you to do cookies, then you can still be infected because just having Firefox on your system isn't going to do it. You need to set it up correctly and to make sure that, for example, under web features, uncheck allow websites to install software, uncheck load images, and you won't get those. Uncheck enable Java. Block pop-up windows. You can do all of that stuff. You just have to tell it to do it.
All right, try it out and let us know.
Yeah, exactly. Our next caller is Tim from Pavilion, New York. We've got lots of calls from Pavilion. Well, two. That's a lot for us. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Do you know Irene, by the way? Because
yes,
you guys should.
Matter of fact, she's my wife.
There you go. Okay. And that's your story, and you're sticking to it.
I would like to know how to get online to find out what the kids are doing online.
Well, there's a very good product. There's a number of them out there. One that I recommend, a software package that you can load on, is called eBlaster. And eBlaster, literally, you can install there, and it's password protected, and you can see either IM chats, everything they type on the screen, even if they're IMing somebody else, you'll see both sides of the conversation.
And we've got that link on the SoundBites
website,
so check that.
It's fantastic for parents. And it's password protected, so the kids can't hack into it.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on SoundBites on 1180 WHAM.
America's longest-running computer show.
Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edrick.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We've got a couple people on the line, but before we go back to them, I just want to mention that, you know, we have our podcast, and currently we have a whole bunch of people. We have 37 people in New Zealand.
Cool.
Who listen to this podcast regularly. My only hope is they're all at Weta, and they'll be calling me to be in whatever next blockbuster Peter Jackson's going to do. I just want a little walk-on part for me and my daughter. That's all I'm asking.
There you go.
I think I'm pretty reasonable about that. We've got people from France and from Gubble, GBL. I don't even know where that is. So there's a whole bunch of... We got people all over the globe. People in the UK, and it's very cool.
We got anybody...
Thank y'all. Y'all come back now, you hear?
What about the other states?
Warmer. That would be calmer, edu, or U.S., or that sort of thing.
Well, if we could find somebody, you know, California, Florida.
We have listeners. Go to Frapper. You'll see them.
We'll go do a show from down there.
Is the movie version of the Halo video game.
Yeah. Yeah, that
There's
should be
a blockbuster
fun.
For you.
There it is right there. Our next caller is Charlie from Geneva, New York. Welcome, Charlie. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Who came in?
Charlie did. Hello?
Hello, yep. Welcome.
Hello, this is Charles.
What's your question?
Intermittent monitor blackouts. The screen just goes out, just then it comes back, and it goes out and comes back.
Well, first thing to check is your energy saver preferences and make sure you don't have it set to black the screen out after a minute.
No, it's not that.
Or a screen saver.
Nope, it's none of those.
The video cable tight and none of the pins are bent?
Exactly.
Have you tried another display? A monitor to see if it does it to that one.
Yeah, it could be the monitor actually failing.
That's what I was wondering. I have another monitor I've got sitting here. I'm just waiting.
I would try that out to see, you know, if it does it with that monitor, then it's pointing towards the video card.
No.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I never said I'm a bearer of all good news. I just tell it like it is, and it is what it is.
Don't borrow trouble until you have to, Charlie. Try the other monitor. If that works, you win.
Video card. I don't want to replace this video card.
Right.
Yeah.
So definitely try the other monitor. If the problem goes away,
you win.
Sometimes even just turning the power off and pull the video card out and then reseat it, plug it back in, make sure it's tight can help.
Right.
Mm-hmm. After the heating and cooling cycles in computers, the little chips can work their way loose over time and things start acting funny in technical terms.
Well, at least the new video cards, though, the HEBs, they have that lockdown.
Yeah, you can't get them out when you want to.
Yeah, you literally, depending on the case, too, they can be a knuckle buster. Got to get your hand down in there, pull back or push down on that back tab, and then that'll finally release the card so you can pull it out. So you folks that are, if you're trying to remove the video card and it's not coming out, check to the back side of the card. Down the bottom, there's usually a little white tab. You've got to push that down or it ain't coming out.
All right, our next caller. Peter from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Peter. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How are you? I got a question about my firewall. I have Windows XP Service Pack 2, and my Windows firewall keeps turning off. Every time we go back to use the computer, whether it's actually been turned off or whether it's just been sitting there dormant for a while, you go back and a little balloon comes on and says your computer's at risk, your firewall's off, and I keep turning it back on, enabling it.
Have you run the Security Tango?
Yes, I have.
Well, the other thing, though, is I would say, yeah, leave that off anyways. It's a piece of junk.
Okay.
And you might want to download Zone Alarm, which is, by the way, free. It does a lot better job of protecting your machine. Main reason you want a firewall is because if you're on DSL or Roadrunner.
Right, I am.
You're going to want a firewall because other folks might, because you're always on.
Right.
While the computer's on, you're always on, unlike dial-up. So people could hack into your machine.
So, but why did you think all of a sudden it started maybe about 3 weeks ago where it kept, you know, keeps going on and off?
It's like usually that. Some sort of spyware or virus turning off your security so it can infect you more.
Right. Well, I've been running the Security Tango. I run pretty much everything on that, that sheet that you've given us. So, but you think if I just turn it off completely and download.
Yeah, try turning it off and say, you know, when it asks you, when you click on the... The firewall?
Right.
Down in the lower right hand, left-hand corner, there's a little button that says, don't bother me, I'm maintaining this myself.
Right.
Download Zone Alarm and put that on, and each time you start up a browser or email program, it'll first ask you, do you want to allow this? The same when you go to update SpyBot and Adaware or your antivirus software, it's going to ask you, do you want me to allow this? Say yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and Rob and Nick on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Whams. From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Alan from Webster, New York. Welcome, Alan. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi there.
Yo. Oh, you said Webster, Victor.
Oh, you're right. No, he did say Victor. It's that was my fault, Rob. That was entirely my fault.
Now Rob's dancing all around the studio.
I looked at Victor, but then I turned my head, and it was much, much longer than I normally retain information, and so consequently I screwed up. We're going to Alan from Victor, New York. Welcome, Alan. What's your question?
Yes. Question for you on Microsoft Outlook. I'm running it on two computers.
Okay.
Now, at the bottom of the screen, one computer gives me the option of seeing how many items are in each of the different folders.
Yeah.
All right, and it also tells me when there's incoming emails, like.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little symbol down there that runs while the mail is coming in.
Right.
Now, on the other computer, I can't see that. That whole information is gone, telling me how many files are in the folder and stuff.
Yeah, that's the status line, and you must have it turned off on the other machine. You should be able to turn that on fairly easily by going into, I think it's the View menu. I'm running an old and slow machine here, so I'm not starting up Outlook. The show would be long over by the time it actually started up. So, but yeah, if you go into, I believe it's the View menu. Oh, he's got his up quickly. The View menu.
Well, that's Express.
Yeah, that's Express. That's not the same.
Yeah, one menu somewhere, show status bar, and then there's another one that says show progress that will show you the progress of sending and receiving emails and how many mails are coming in and going out.
Right. So those just have to be turned on.
I just clicked on the status bar. Nothing's happened here.
Now you're using Outlook, not Outlook Express?
Outlook, period.
Yeah.
There's a status bar.
Yeah, there may be a layout command that describes what columns you get. It's been a while since I've used Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, very long time since.
Yeah, so one of the settings in the View menu or the layout menu will turn that status window back on for you.
Okay, because it just has to be raised a little bit so I can see it.
Yeah.
There
make
you
sure
go.
It's full screen.
Resize the thing, and there you go. All right. That's one of the problems that we often see with these systems. You find that, you're missing a piece of information. Where'd it go? Well, you know what? It just scrolled off the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
So resizing the window will fix that for you often enough. The problem is when a window actually gets too large for the monitor, you can't resize it. It's hard to deal with. Before we move on, I just want to mention, it's Apple Week. We're the polls about Apple. We had two quiet things about Apple. Apple is getting a lot of free publicity out of the Olympics. I don't know how many of you have noticed it, but it's like every athlete in the Olympics has an iPod.
It seems to be especially common in the skiers and snowboarders, and they're all using these Burton jackets that have been out for a few. It's $400 for this jacket, but it's really, really cool.
I think they're an official sponsor. I don't believe anybody paid $400.
Well, Burton, Burton itself is, but there is no. In fact, one of the articles I was reading, there is no official music player MP3 sponsor for the Olympics this year. No one thought of it, so Apple has sort of become the unofficial one because so many people are using it. But these Burton ski jackets have
Wired for iPods.
Wired for iPod. They have a pocket to put your iPod in it. They have control buttons on the sleeve, and they have speakers built into the hoods so that you can listen to your music while you're skiing, snowboarding, etc. And we're hearing from a lot of the...
I'd buy one of those if I didn't think it meant I had to ski or snowboard.
Yeah, and we're hearing from people that are, especially the medal winners, about what music they're listening to while they're on their medal-winning run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Sean White, the 19-year-old snowboarder, uses an iPod-equipped helmet, which pipes in Led Zeppelin for him, or during his recent gold medal routine, AC/DC's Back in Black. All right, we're done for another week. Whether or not you actually have your iPod piped into your clothing or not, we're done for another week, and I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. Please go to the website. Give us a shout on the Frapper thing. Go to the links button. The fifth choice down is join the growing Soundbites community on Frapper and stick in your name and your location for us, particularly all you folks in New Zealand. I don't know what you're waiting for. And then come back to the Soundbites page, vote in the poll, join us in the forums, head on over to AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And you'll find us all on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.